continue following the story of the death of Robin Williams, thought we would continue the conversation, try to learn a little bit more about the condition that Robin Williams must have been in order to hang himself in his own home, the depth of that darkness that I had talked about that so many others also suffer with as well. Katie Mason is the Program Director of Public Education with Mental Health America of Illinois. Katie, thank you for joining us, and welcome to WGN.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
I imagine, Katie, just in hearing this story and hearing the news reports, and especially now just hearing the Marin County Sheriff describing this event, this can't be too different from the cases that you must deal with, sadly, every day, of people who are also suffering with the similar problems.
Absolutely. And you know, this is such a tragedy, and our hearts go out to Robin Williams and his family. But we have to use this as a tragedy to, as an opportunity, really, to create awareness about what is a public health epidemic. You know, I think a lot of people don't really know that 38,000 people die by suicide in the United States every year. And every 14 minutes, someone in the U.S. dies by suicide. So it's the number one injury-related death, even over auto accidents.
Yet it's something that goes on that when we hear about it, we kind of cringe our eyes, we turn away, we turn, you know, we sort of go deaf to the facts. We just don't want to hear that
right.
This kind of thing it goes on, because you don't really know how to react or deal with it when someone brings up that they were somehow affected by a suicide.
Well, there's still such a negative stigma about mental illnesses and suicide. But if people really understand how common this is, you know, hopefully that can help others get to treatment. 90% of the people who die by suicide have one or more mental illnesses at the time of their death, and that's most commonly depression. So that doesn't mean that everyone that has depression is going to attempt suicide, but again, 90% of the people that do have a diagnosable mental disorder such as depression. And again, just really understanding that these are medical illnesses. These are disorders of the brain. They are not, this is not because of someone's character or their upbringing or anything but just being a medical illness. The brain malfunctions just like every other organ in our body can malfunction.
When you say that, you know, it all stems from a depression, a diagnosable depression, I mean, everybody gets sad about things. Everybody gets down about things. What's the difference between dealing with day-to-day stress and this diagnosable, I suppose clinical depression really would be the correct term, right?
Yes, absolutely. And we do. We use that word depression, you know, flippantly in our society. I feel so depressed, when really that can mean someone just feels sad. Sadness is a normal part of being a human being. Sadness and stress, you know, we all go through it. But it's different when other symptoms are present. So when sleeping is affected. So people who have depression can either experience insomnia, where they can't sleep, or they wake up multiple times during the night and can't go back to bed, or they want to sleep all the time, 12, 14 hours a day.
Completely listless, lethargic, et cetera. Let me take a quick break here, and then we need to get a couple of things on. Then when we come back, we can talk a little more at length about other warning signs and what people can do if they see these characteristics in their loved ones. Katie Mason is on the line with us from Mental Health America of Illinois. You can join us, too, with questions or your observations and comments. 312-981-7200 on WGN.
If you're anything...
Dean Richards in for Bob and Marianne all this week on WGN. Talking about the big story of the day, the suicide of Robin Williams. Steve reporting all the very latest the nuts and bolts of the case, and we continue to talk about suicide and the problem of mental health. The epidemic of suicide seemingly more and more rampant in America than ever before. Katie Mason joining us, who is the Director of Public Awareness for Mental Health America of Illinois. I assume you've been listening to the coverage and watching the coverage, Karen, or Katie, rather, excuse me. Is what we have seen and heard in this Robin Williams case fairly characteristic of the cases of people who are suffering from depression and mental illness?
You know, in terms of just kind of the fact that he was struggling with severe depression, and in terms of kind of, I guess, what specifically are you referring to?
Well, just, you know, what we've heard about depression, what we've heard of in and out of rehab, you know, mm-hmm. back and forth trying to get help. I mean, here's somebody who had every resource in the world, you know, with presumably enough money to, you know, see the best doctors and go to the best rehab centers. Yet he was in and out of these centers. This vortex of depression and darkness just seems like it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter, I guess I should ask the question, you know, if you're seeking treatment or not, or are just some people are going to be inclined to this kind of behavior no matter what kind of attention they seek out?
Well, when we have a history of addiction combined with depression, it's definitely more difficult because we see very high comorbidity rates between depression and substance abuse because people are trying to cope with the symptoms of their illness through substance abuse.
Self-medicate themselves.
Absolutely, self-medicate. And it's a negative coping mechanism because we know that alcohol and other substances can be depressants on the brain. So it's an ineffective coping mechanism, and it can perpetuate the depression. So I don't claim to know exactly, you know, Robin Williams's history of treatment or what was or wasn't happening, but with repeated use of substances, if that's how he was dealing with his symptoms of depression and not receiving proper treatment, that could explain why he may have been in and out of facilities.
Yeah. I'm not asking that, you know, to try to you know, Monday morning quarterback, you know, the very serious specifics of this case, but there are some things about which he spoke very publicly about drug use and alcohol use dating back to the 1970s of being in and out of hospitals. He spoke a month ago about checking himself back into a rehab center. The quote was something like, "I just want to make sure it sticks. I want to go in for a refresher just to make sure that my rehab sticks." So, I mean, I guess, judging by that, since he had been in and out of rehab for some 20, 30 years, that it's really something ongoing when you seek treatment and then still may not be effective, I guess.
Well, and again, I don't claim to be an addictions expert, but we do know that relapse rates are very high with addiction treatment for a number of reasons. You know, one of the reasons being that the use of the chronic use of the substances is changing the brain chemistry. So it's very difficult to recover, though it's possible. It's very, very challenging.
Yeah very difficult. So, you talked about warning signs to look for people who may be candidates for clinical depression, who may be candidates for attempts at suicide. You had mentioned the lack of sleep or changes in your sleep pattern. Are there other warning signs to look for?
Yeah, some of those being those symptoms of depression. So the changes in sleeping patterns, changes in eating patterns, someone losing their appetite and rapidly losing weight, or overeating and rapidly gaining weight. Someone experiencing excessive anxieties, just a real sense of restlessness. Social isolation, so withdrawing from close friends and family, and having thoughts of suicide. So when someone is actually having these thoughts, we call it suicide ideation. Certainly that is a warning sign. And also just a feeling of hopelessness, feeling like things are never going to get better, feeling like things would be better if they ended it all. So those are some of the symptoms of depression that can really correlate with the warning sign.
So what do you do if you see someone you love exhibiting some of these characteristics? Do you take them to a doctor? Do you talk to them? Do you There must also be a feeling of helplessness on the part of the people surrounding the person going through that.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the biggest things is knowing what the warning signs are. And, you know, there's a couple more really, really important ones that I want to make sure I talk about.
Sure.
But, you know, if someone is actually verbally talking about suicide, so if they're saying, you know, I'm thinking about ending it all, people would be better off without me, you know, actually making statements like that is definitely a warning sign and a very, very serious one. Looking for ways, you know, if you notice someone's looking for ways to kill themselves on the internet, seeking access to means such as a gun or pills, those are definitely very, very critical warning signs.
So what do you do? What do you do if you see some of these things?
Yeah, you want to acknowledge to the person that you're seeing these warning signs. So and letting them know very specifically, this is what I'm seeing in you. This is the change in behavior that I'm seeing, and I'm very, very concerned. And how you approach that person is really important, and how you kind of have that conversation with the person, because the person may be very afraid that no one's going to understand how they're feeling and that they're going to be stigmatized. And so you want to really let the person know that maybe you don't exactly understand how they're feeling, but you know that when people appear to be feeling the way you do, they sometimes are thinking about suicide, and I'm wondering if you're thinking about that too. So actually asking that person, are they thinking about suicide? People are very afraid to use that word.
Sure.
They're afraid it's going to
trigger it.
Yeah. And that's not true. And it's very important that the public knows this. What it does is it creates a safe space for someone to be able to actually talk about how they're feeling and potentially be more open to getting help. And so you want to listen to non-judgmentally to that person, to just kind of find out how they're feeling and why they're feeling this way. And you don't want to blame or shame that person at all. You don't want to say, oh, snap out of it. You have so much, you know, to live for. Why are you thinking about these things?
You know,
that's just not helpful dialogue.
Yeah. Here is Deanna on the phone line from Kenosha, Wisconsin at 312-981-7200. Deanna, hi, you're on WGN.
Hi, Dean. I love your show, and I can totally relate to the topic today. I guess I spent my teenage years, my mom tried to kill herself several ways with a gun, pills, and none of the doctors seemed to help, but back then it was like really, I never talked about it. I used to say that she was sick from cancer, and it was just easier. And she finally jumped in Lake Michigan in February, and I was a senior in high school, and it was just all over the paper, and it was just so unbelievably unfair that I blamed myself for years, you know, and I just thought that if I could have done more to help, but I don't know, it just was such a big secret. She didn't talk about it. She just did it and was very sad, and I avoided myself and my children doing the same thing.
That's a very common reaction, isn't it, Katie?
Absolutely. Blaming yourself, you know, that's
helped, I guess.
Go ahead, Katie.
Unfortunately, just that's kind of what the family is left with. You know, how did I not see the signs? You know, what could I have done differently? And so that's a very, very normal reaction. And understand that it's okay to have that reaction.
I'm very,
yeah.
Yeah.
I just, I just want that to happen to me. I try to think positive in my life, and, you know, I have great kids and a great family, and I don't want to go down that road, and I'm sad, I just want to talk about it and not just brush it under the rug.
Yeah, very sorry for your loss, Deanna. I'm sure that must have been very difficult. Thank you for calling. We'll take some more calls, get to some of your texts as well. 312-981-7200, WGN. Dean Richards in for Bob Surratt and Marianne Murciano today. It's 1:50 on 720 WGN, talking about clinical depression and suicide. Many of the factors that play into the tragic story now of we know the suicide of actor Robin Williams. Joining us on the phone line is Katie Mason, an expert in the field, joining us. And also on the line is Jerry in Northbrook at 312-981-7200. Jerry, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hi, Dean. Hello.
Welcome.
I called in to say that I have suffered a number of episodes of depression. Some of them, one of them lasted about 3 years. And during that 3 years, I was hospitalized. I was on, you know, the drug treatment. I was seeing a psychiatrist. And I'm just calling to say, don't be ashamed to see a psychiatrist. You know, when you're depressed, you need help. And for anybody out there listening, please don't be ashamed. Don't be stigmatized. It's the right thing to do. See a psychiatrist. Get help. Talk to your family. Talk to your friends. And it helped me tremendously.
Any comment on that, Katie?
Oh, thank you so much, Jerry. You know, the reality is treatment works. Basically, with depression, it could be a combination of medication. It could be therapy. It could be a combination of both. But treatment works, and it can alleviate symptoms, up to 80 to 90% of symptoms. So it works, and it's just like going in and getting treatment for any other type of health condition. So, Jerry, thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you for the call, Jerry. We appreciate that. Are there certain personalities, Katie, that are more predisposed to others? We were talking earlier today about comedians, stand-up comedians, somebody who, you know, gets on stage and is craving that attention, is able to put their personal life aside and live in the on-stage persona that they've created for themselves. You know, apparently, like Robin Williams has, and a number of other performers that I know, that I've talked to, that you can see are, when they're just talking as themselves, seem to be uncomfortable in their own skin. But when they're on, if you know what I mean, they're it's almost as though they're able to escape whatever it is that's bothering them personally.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what makes it so confusing, because we've heard of other celebrities, you know, who have suffered from depression or other mental illnesses, and you think to yourself, how could someone who appears to be so funny, so upbeat and friendly, how could they suffer from something like this? And you know, whatever they're able to do on stage, that doesn't negate what is going on in their brain chemistry and what they're experiencing just as a medical condition. So I wouldn't say that there are specific types of personalities that are more prone, but I think it's just that these individuals are able to somehow put aside their symptoms to be able to perform, or they're getting treatment.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably the other thing.
A text coming in from the 630 area code. My mother committed suicide when I was 18. What I want to submit is that when a person wants to do it, they'll do it, and often there are simply no warning signs because they don't want to be stopped. Do you think that's true, Katie?
I do think that that's true. I think there's a small percentage of the population where we're not going to see we might not see warning signs. I think that's, and I'm going to retract a little bit. If individuals, if as a society some of this stigma is alleviated and people are able to better access treatment, some of these people that, you know, where they didn't want to be stopped, they didn't want, you know, any help, that could change. And the other thing is that's part of the nature of depression. They can't, you know, they're in such a state of emotional and physical pain that they can't understand what they're doing. They've lost perspective, and it may seem that they don't want help, but more often than not, they do.
They're just so surrounded by this profound pain. We had someone text in earlier saying that a person who commits suicide is a coward, and it's unfair to the survivors, and don't glorify somebody who's committed suicide. And, you know, my response was, I cannot even imagine how much profound pain and sadness that a person must have been in to commit suicide. I feel bad for the survivors, but I don't think most of us can even comprehend the unbelievable suffering that that person is going through.
Absolutely, and that is true. And anyone that has suffered from depression or another mental illness and had suicidal thoughts will tell you the same thing. So it's a misconception that this person wanted this to happen in this way. They are just trying to alleviate the incredible emotional and physical pain, and they don't see another way out. Their judgment is clouded because of the illness.
Is there a suicide hotline if somebody's got thoughts of suicide or depression? They have no idea where to go or where to turn to. Is there an anonymous toll-free number, something like that they can call?
Absolutely. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-TALK. So 1-800-273-TALK, and that's available 24/7. Individuals can talk to someone live, and they can also get resources in their area.
Isn't there also a walk that's taking place to raise awareness and funds? It takes place in Chicago every year. Is it called the Out of the Darkness Walk?
Yes, that's put on by the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. And so they do the Out of the Darkness walks. So that's a great thing that someone can get involved in if they are a survivor, to try to heal.
Yeah, and looking for other people who have gone through the same thing. Raise awareness, raise money. It's going to be September 20th. We looked it up here in Grant Park. And for info on that, 312-890-2377. I really appreciate you joining us and explaining this, Katie, so well and with such sensitivity. Katie Mason, the Director of Public Awareness for Mental Health America of Illinois. If people want to get info about your organization, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, it's www.mhai.org. So they can go to our website and get a bunch of information. And we also have an information resource line that is not a crisis line, but we can connect individuals potentially to services. And then I want to also let people know that Illinois has a suicide prevention campaign called It Only Takes One. And that website is itonlytakesone.org.
Okay.
There's lots of information on resources, warning signs, symptoms, what to do.
Okay. We'll put all the links up on our page just to make it easy. If you go to WGNradio.com, we'll put all the phone numbers, all the websites, everything, so it'll be easy to find. Katie, thank you for joining us. We appreciate
it. Absolutely. Thank you.